National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Project 2. Interviewers, Martha Fleischman, Leonard Belov, the respondent, Richard Rao. June 6th, 1995.
Okay, this is our second session with Richard, and again he has brought us a wonderful collection of pictures and copies of articles from newspapers, and we want to thank him up front for all this. I assume these items will be available to any research person who has access to this tape will have access to photographs and copies of articles from the newspaper of various kinds. Let's start out with some things that we will not have in our possession, but you can share with us that you have in front of you. Richard, you want to start with the family photograph or the whatever?
Well, this is just simply a picture of my family of 1900. My grandfather, Enoch, my grandmother, Bertha, my father, and Richard S. Rao, and my aunt, Helen B. Rao. This is a picture of my great-grandmother's mother. My great-grandmother was Rosalie Lipman Rao, who married my great-grandfather, Solomon Rao. And this is a picture of Rosalie's mother, Babetta Lippmann, who was born in Memelsdorf, Germany, in 1801. I'm not sure when she died, though. Her husband, however, Marcus Lippmann, died in the 1840s. He was born in 1800, so he didn't live very long. And they had five children. Rosalie Lippmann was, for my purposes, my of course most important because she married my grandfather, my great grandfather. Then I have the only surviving kind of logo of my father's advertising agency, which he started in the 1920s, didn't last very long. He had a partner, and as I was growing up, I was told that the partner did some swindling or something, and out went the business. It just went down the drain. But I have this little logo. It says the Richard S. Rao Company, Advertising Services, Merchandising Council, Advertising, the Power Behind Business Success. In the 1920s, it was unusual to have an advertising agency, but I don't know how successful it was. It just didn't go anywhere.
Okay, let's stick with your dad for a minute. Before marriage to your mom and the involvement in the Playhouse, how much do you know about him from his growing up time and what his interests were and whether he went to school and that whole?
It's difficult. Let's see. I know that he went to the University of Pittsburgh to study engineering, and he did not complete those 4 years. He left after his second year.
What years would that be?
Well, it would be at least approximately 1911 to 1913. And I'm not sure what he did between 1913 and the time that he finally found a definite position, which was, other than the advertising agency, mm-hmm. around 1932. He became a partner in a company called Bankers Lithographing Company, whose headquarters were in Forbes Field, which was in Oakland.
Before that time, though, was there a family business that your grandfather had?
Yes. In the 1880s, my grandfather Enoch and his brothers Marcus and Abe started the Rao. It was a clothing store. I'm not sure exactly how long it lasted, but it seemed to have some value. Now, they had lived in Dubuque, Iowa. My grandfather, all the brothers were born in Dubuque, Iowa. Then they moved to Cincinnati, and by 1863, they were in Cincinnati. And then by 1870, they moved to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So sometime between 1870 and 1882, let's say, this store began. And again, I think it's better documented in that dissertation by Diane Bernardo, I think.
Fine. Why
she
says
something like that.
You know, why don't you talk about the dissertation so that's on tape also, people who are interested.
Well, it's a dissertation which a young woman from Duquesne University wrote and just finished. It's called Bertha Florsheim Rau, A Jewish Volunteer Social Reformer Forges a Path to Public Office in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it is a very detailed dissertation using sources, for example, of the Rau papers, which I donated to the Hillman Library in 1966, which documents a good deal of my grandfather's involvement in Pittsburgh life and my grandmother's involvement in the same thing. And that put together a dissertation which takes it up to 1922. My grandmother was appointed to the welfare, to be the head of the welfare bureau in Pittsburgh in 1922, a post she held until 1934. She was the first woman in the United States to serve in a mayor's cabinet position anywhere in the United States. That was a very big thing in the family to know that. Mm-hmm. And but Diane DiNardo's dissertation amazingly covers up to this point, and she wants to continue doing this. She wants to finish the dissertation, in a sense, through 1934. There is a copy at Pitt in the Hillman Library in the Industrial Archives Division.
Great, thank you very much. So, as far as your father is concerned, in his early life, or his life from the time he left Pitt until the time that he got involved in this advertising and then business and then worked for the lithographer, became a part owner. Eventually vice president. You don't know exactly what he did.
No.
Is it possible that he worked in this store that was started by the brother?
Unlikely.
Unlikely.
Because by then I think that store would have been out of business, but I'm not sure. I'm not even sure when it went out of business. But I think
it was started, you think, in the 1880s?
In the 1880s, I know that.
And it was downtown?
I believe so, on 2nd Avenue.
Okay.
I've forgotten exactly what Diana has said, but there is one section here where she goes through this. But I don't think he would have done that. However, what he did do, I don't know.
Okay. But to your knowledge, he did not move from Pittsburgh during this time. He stayed right here.
Oh, right. Right. Right.
All right. It seems from what you have shown us in pictures that your family was expansive. Many members.
Doing many different things, yes. They did a lot of writing. They spoke. My father, I don't have it here, he gave a speech one night in Pittsburgh denouncing, let me see if I get this right, I forgot it. In fact, it was a TV show about this incident, about a Jewish man who was lynched in the South for, I think, raping some girl, and he didn't do it. And my father was one of the people who made a speech, and I can't remember.
Was that the phrase?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. My memory, I'm getting old. Leo Frank case, yes. And he, one night, I have a newspaper clipping, which I don't know where it is, but I saw this. So that kind of thing, where they, my grandmother was very, very prolific as a writer and speaker, and went around town doing just that, and she was a member of everything on earth, every organization, and then many articles, which I've turned over to you today, some of them having to do, especially with Jewish life at the turn of the century in Pittsburgh. And unlike me, they were very religious and very involved in Jewish causes in this city.
When you said unlike you, they were very religious, what does that mean?
Well, it means that I just haven't been as religious.
No, what does it mean as far as they're concerned? What made them religious?
Oh, I don't know. I think just probably traditions which were handed down from generation to generation. I mean, they had come here from Germany in the 1850s. They were very proud of themselves, proud of to be Americans to begin with, but they also carried their Jewish heritage with them. For instance, I have in my possession a very old Hebrew Bible, which was brought over here in the 1850s, and it dates way back into the 1820s. It's not in very good shape, but I decided I can't. I haven't given it to a library yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think, my great-great-grandmother's Bible. And it seems to me that they, in addition to which, their participation in Jewish life, for example, in the synagogue, Rosh Sholem, where they were members, seems to be fairly well documented.
And Rosh Sholem is a
Reform, right. And the German Jews, of course, founded this synagogue
mm-hmm.
in Pittsburgh. And my grandfather's brother, Marcus Rau, there's a plaque in the synagogue in the J. Leonard Levy Hall at Rosh Sholem commemorating him. He must have been the head of it. Also, Rosalie Lippmann, her brother, was president of Rosh Sholem at the turn of the century. I found that out.
I'd like to follow the mail a bit more in your family. Your dad, and it seems to be a whole as to what he was doing.
I know, it is difficult to, I'm sorry about this sort of gap. I don't really know what he did. He kind of, I guess, kicked around and tried different things and wrote and traveled, and somehow or other he didn't really find his vocation until the 1930s. But his interests continued to be also theatrical, which is part of the reason I think he became interested in my mother, who was an actress, and also with the Pittsburgh Playhouse. But that's later. That's
mm-hmm.
We start that in the mid-1930s.
To your knowledge, did he participate in any theatricals at Pitt when he was going to school there or in the community?
I don't. Other than as a writer or one of the activities which we haven't really talked about here, and I didn't bring any information, is the Enoch Rau Club. The Enoch Rau Club was founded in 1920. It was designed to help orphan children, and they took the name from my grandmother, father, mm-hmm. Enoch. And so my grandmother and my father and my aunt all became a very integral part of this club. I don't know when it ended. I have a 14th anniversary magazine of it. I have a 20th anniversary, which take it up to 1940. After that, I don't know. There's a guy named Bill Miller who lives in Squirrel Hill, who is now, I guess, in his 80s, who's turned over to me material from the Enoch Rau Club. And he's the last member that I know of who could be around, and if you're interested, you should call him. I think I had his number. I'll have to get it. But
mm-hmm.
I had seen his picture. He showed me his picture in the 1935, a couple of 1935 pictures. And it was a very thriving organization. In fact, it fielded one of the best basketball teams in Western Pennsylvania.
Where did it meet?
I don't know, but the Belfield Y was one of the places where and I have pictures of the kids sitting in the auditorium, and as a matter of fact, as a kid, I remember my father in the 1940s, taking me down there to sit and watch the show. And they would have magicians and all kinds of dancers and singers, and these kids would be entertained. And so I'm not sure exactly the entire function of this operation, and I don't know why it ended. But it was a big deal, and so my father was very involved in that. My father and mother, his mother, were also very involved in the Symphony Society, which they founded in the middle of the 1920s. And the Symphony Society was part of, not the Pittsburgh Symphony itself, which existed at that point, but the society. I don't know much about it, except that they were involved in it. And so that these things that when you ask me what he did, I guess he was just involved in a lot of different activities with no specific focus until 1932. His love always was with theater in some form or another, though he never acted as I have acted. He certainly enjoyed being behind the scenes, and his job at Banker's Lithographing was just something that he did. When he entered the company in 1932, the third partner died almost immediately after that. He was then, he and the other guy, Willoughby Jacobs, became owners of this company, with Willoughby being the president, my father being vice president. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time I was a little boy, I went down to his plant and saw the whole operation. They made checks and passports. It was a huge printing company. Mm-hmm. And I think it still exists today. Willoughby's sons have taken it and moved it somewhere else. I think in the north hills of Pittsburgh.
What was his name at the time your dad worked?
The Banker's Lithographing Company.
Banker's.
Right.
Okay. Has it retained that name?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Don't hold me to that, but I think so.
Okay.
My father was disappointed, though, that I did not show interest in being involved in this company.
So he was had some business sense, obviously, as well as some writing ability. What else did he write?
And speaking ability.
And speaking ability. What else did he write?
Well, I did bring in this pamphlet which he wrote defending American neutrality in the First World War. It's called What American Neutrality Should Mean, a protest by Richard S. Rao, and it's dated 1915. In addition to which, he was very much in favor of keeping America as much as possible out of the war, which is interesting because of what happened with the Second World War, when we had an additional huge contingency of people in this country who wanted to keep us out of the Second World War. I think by the Second World War, however, he was not quite that way. Germany had already done enough trouble in the First World War. It's the only pamphlet I know of that he actually is registered in the Library of Congress in the United States, and I have a copy which I've just given to you. You want me to talk about that, or... Okay, this is just another pamphlet, which is not my father, but my grandfather, Enoch Rao, which essentially, it's called the Rao Act, which was promulgated in 1913, and it essentially ensures that people, workers on the job, are compensated if they are laid off. And it was a law, it was passed as law by the then Governor John Tenner, T-E-N-E-R, in June of 1913. My God, that's 82 years ago. It says, the Rao Act, City Councilman Enoch Rao, Pittsburgh, making it possible for cities of first and second class to compensate city employees for time lost through injuries or sickness. You know, we don't think of it this way anymore, but amazingly enough, in those days, these kinds of things were not... part of the landscape. And I think this is another part of what my grandmother, her position in all this is, which is to be founding different kinds of orphanages and places for needy people. For instance, I came across an article I brought in for you, this scrapbook to look at, and I think in here somewhere is an article which has something to do with the 1889 Johnstown flood. There was another flood in that time. And she was involved in that too. She was very involved in social things that happen to people that, you know, were disadvantaged or whatever. And she was constantly doing that. And I don't know where that art was.
Would you describe just a little bit the scrapbook that you have? Because it's not going to be in our possession, but I want people to know that it exists.
Well, it is a scrapbook which she put together starting in 1884.
Why don't you tell us who the she is?
Oh, I'm sorry, right. My grandmother, Bertha Florsheim Rao, who was married to Enoch Rao. Bertha was born in 1865 in Pittsburgh and died in Pittsburgh in 1952. And she's my grandmother, and she put together this scrapbook, which goes from 1884 to about 1905, and it is a combination of many different things. It lists, for example, at the beginning, her great accomplishments as a student in the Pittsburgh high school system, and apparently she was one of the brightest of all of these, of all the students in the Pittsburgh area, and then the scrapbook contains information about many of the different members of her family who had either died or, in her case, got married. And there's a huge section on her marriage to my grandfather, which is an incredible article. In addition to which, different kinds of programs that she went to, people that she knew, like Reverend Henry Potter, who was a major figure in the New York City area. My grandmother, apparently, her interests were nationwide, and people all over the country would actually, she would write to them, and they would sometimes come into Pittsburgh to help out any causes that she felt were important. And she, based on what Diane DiNardo has said in the dissertation, was involved in every possible social organization in the city. And so the scrapbook contains a great deal of that. For example, the Gusky Orphanage, which she was instrumental in obtaining donations for.
You know anything about that orphanage, where it was, or who it was? Was this just for Jewish children?
You asked me that earlier. My guess is yes, but I don't know. Not really sure. But this is the scrapbook is an amazing kind of mini record of things that were happening at that time. Here's a. And she was instrumental in getting some of the major wealthy people in Pittsburgh, like Frick, to donate money to this orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I assume it's still in existence. Unfortunately, I can't really tell you much about Henry Potter because I don't know anything about it. Maybe historians know more. She had quite a correspondence with him, and. And in fact, as often the case with her, she would actually have them stay at her house over on Bartlett Street. That address is 5837. Well, here's, I just came across a program for the memorial service at Rudolf Scholem in 1901 after the assassination of President McKinley. And it says, in memory of, loving memory of the late William McKinley, President of the United States, and held at Congregation Rudolf Scholem, Pittsburgh, September 19, 1901, written by J. Leonard Levy, who was, of course, the founder, the rabbi, the most important rabbi that the congregation had at that time. But this is the kind of thing. you know, to get back to your original thing, it's in this scrapbook. Here's a group called the Colombian Council of Jewish Women, and my grandmother was president of this club. I do not know anything about their interests, but it seems like it was almost all the Jewish women in Pittsburgh were in it. Again, this is about 1905. Here's an article. Much enthusiasm has been stirred up by the determination of a number of Pittsburghers and Allegheny. Let me start that again. Much enthusiasm has been stirred up by the determination of the members of the Pittsburgh and Allegheny Sterilized Milk and Ice Association to do their work on a broad scale this year and to care for the babies and children of the tenements whose death rates during the hot months in this locality is very large. And my grandmother was president of that Pittsburgh and Allegheny Sterilized Milk and Ice Association. This is the kind of thing she did. She was constantly involved in helping children and people who were underprivileged.
What about your dad? Excuse me, your grandfather.
My grandfather.
She seems to be a social reformer.
Just curious.
And what part?
Well, he, it seems to me, was the political arm of the family, where he, in 1911, a council was formed in Pittsburgh to by the mayor, and I've forgotten his name, and which is the basis for our present Pittsburgh City Council. And these men were considered to be very important, and he was one of them, and he was in office for 8 years and reelected a couple of times. In addition to my mention of the Rao Act, he also was responsible for announcing the subway situation. He proposed a subway for Pittsburgh, which at the time was considered a joke. Now, the information about him is lodged at the University of Pittsburgh, also in the industrial archives that I turned over to them. And there are a number of things that I still have in my possession, which I did not hand over to Pitt, only because I couldn't find them until more recent years. One of them has to do with some kind of political hassle he got into, and I can't describe it here because you need to look at it. Mm-hmm. He was accused of fence sitting, and there's a big picture of him, a cartoon in the paper, him looking like a grasshopper and bouncing around back and forth. So I guess he wasn't perfect, but mm-hmm. apparently, from all I know and from the tributes that were paid to him and the articles I read about him, his death was a major blow to Pittsburgh. He died suddenly in 1919 of a heart attack. And the firemen of Pittsburgh came out in droves. Apparently he was there. He was one of their great champions. And there's a big article about that.
Did your grandfather start a league for disabled children? Jewish sports? I'm just trying to get a full.
I'm not sure. I think so. And he, I don't know.
Okay.
Where did you get that information?
There was a guy named Barry Parrott.
Oh, yes. Okay. Right. Oh, go ahead. Start again. You said that.
I was interested in other things your grandfather did, and I thought you had mentioned earlier Barry Parrott.
Barry Parrott. Well, this had to do with the Enoch Rao Club.
Okay.
And the Jewish sports heroes, and because they were connected to the Enoch Rao Club, and this is after his death.
Oh, okay. Fine.
So that was.
Okay, now we have space at the Jewish Community Center in Squirrel Hill that has photographs and items from famous Jewish sports people from Pittsburgh. Is that part of this collection or part of?
No. Oh, well, it may be, except that what I was talking about was the whole team that was fielded by the Enoch Rao Club. Was apparently, because I talked to Barry, and
okay.
He said that they were the best in Western Pennsylvania. and became quite renowned throughout the state of Pennsylvania, not necessarily the nation.
Mm-hmm. And this was at a time when the Jewish Community Center was on Belfield. Or the Y was on Belfield.
Yeah, right.
Could you hold this just a minute?